How does Jesus speak in John Hersey High School? How will Jesus speak in Motorola or United Airlines? When you speak about Jesus, Jesus speaks through you.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. We're continuing a message we began last time. We've come to 1 Peter chapter 3. And Colin, we've come to a real difficult passage.
Yeah, Christ preaching to the spirits in prison that disobeyed in the time of Noah. What in the world does that mean? And many people have come to confusion over this passage. It is one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament. It's not easy to understand. But the more I've studied it, the more wonderful this passage of Scripture has come to me. I'm convinced, and we'll try and make the case in the message today, that what's being referred to here is that when Noah spoke to the disobedient people in his generation, Christ was actually speaking through him there and then. And you think about the principle of that. It's what we led the program with, that when you speak about Jesus today, Jesus Christ speaks through you. That to me is absolutely inspiring, and I'm convinced that it's the correct meaning and application of one of the more difficult passages in the New Testament.
All right, with an intro like that, let's dive right into things here. As Pastor Colin said, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3 as we continue this message, New Confidence.
Let's look at what Peter says together. Verse 18 of chapter 3. He brings us back to the center of our faith, and he speaks about the death of Jesus. Christ died for your sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Then he says, I hope you have it open in front of you, verse 19. Jesus was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the time of Noah. Now, what is that all about? Some people think that after Jesus died and before he rose again, he went down into hell and he preached the gospel to people who had died in Old Testament times. Now, if that were true, it would mean that at least some people got a second chance to be saved after they died. Now, this is important because there are a growing number of theologians today who are teaching that some people may have the opportunity to decide for Christ after death, and that some, and maybe even many, may finally be translated beyond death from hell into heaven. And when theologians argue this, they often use this passage in 1 Peter as their basis. Here's what they say. If Jesus went and preached the gospel in hell, why should we not believe that even in hell there will be other opportunities for people to be saved? So they say, those who did not receive Christ in this life will get another chance to receive him later on. This idea that Jesus went on a disembodied journey to hell between his death and his resurrection to preach to people who had died in earlier times has many, many problems. Let me just mention three. Number one, notice that Peter never says Jesus descended into hell. Look at the passage, look at it for the rest of the morning, you won't find the word hell there at all. There is no reference to hell anywhere in 1 Peter and chapter 3. And that should make us think twice. Second, if Jesus did go into hell to preach the gospel, why did he only preach to the spirits who disobeyed in the time of Noah? What was so special about them? Why not the people who were condemned in Sodom and Gomorrah? Why not any other sinners who had disobeyed at any other time in history? Why just the people in the day of Noah? Third, the idea that some would be given a second chance to repent after death goes against the plain teaching of Scripture. It is, the writer to the Hebrews says, appointed for each person to die, and after that, the judgment. There is a great chasm that is fixed at death. There is the opportunity to respond to God's grace in life, but not beyond death. Now, those who believe that Jesus preached in hell between his death and his resurrection often quote the statement from the Apostles' Creed. You remember that great statement, the Apostles' Creed, great statement of the Christian faith, and it says about Jesus, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, dead, and buried, and the next line it says, he ascended into hell. He descended into hell. That's what the Apostles' Creed says. The best way to understand the Apostles' Creed is to remember that Jesus experienced all the dimensions of hell on the cross. During the 3 hours of darkness, he bore our sins. Think with me about this. During the hours of darkness on the cross, when he was conscious, that's very significant, he bore the wrath of God poured out on him. He was forsaken utterly by the Father, alone and alienated from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He carried the weight of our accumulated guilt and shame in the utter darkness. He was in conscious agony of body and of soul. That is hell. And we can gladly confess the Apostles' Creed, though you'll be interested to know that the phrase he descended into hell was not included in the Apostles' Creed until about the year 700. That's a matter of history. But we can gladly confess the Apostles' Creed. Christ descended into hell. He experienced all its horrors. He tasted every dimension of its pain. He did that on the cross. In other words, the descent into hell that Jesus experienced is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, not 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus' descent into hell was not a disembodied preaching visit that took place between his death and his resurrection. It was, in fact, the heart of his suffering on the cross. And when he died, the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. Well, now then, what does Peter mean in chapter 19 when he speaks about Noah? Let's come back to verse 19 and look at it. Let us read it this way. This same Jesus, he's saying, the Jesus who, as you know, was put to death in the body and made alive by the Spirit in his resurrection. This same Jesus who died and who rose again spoke by the Holy Spirit through Noah. By the Holy Spirit, when Noah spoke, Jesus spoke through him. The highly resistant people to whom Noah ministered didn't listen. That is, of course, why their spirits are in prison today. But you do need to know that Jesus spoke to them. Jesus spoke to them during their lifetime through Noah. When Noah spoke, his words were as the words of God to the highly resistant people around him. Jesus spoke through him. Now, this is teaching us something very, very wonderful and powerful for us today. Peter is reminding us that those who hear the voice of Jesus are not just those who happen to live in the time of Jesus, but that by the Holy Spirit, the Jesus who died and rose at one point in history also has spoken to people in every generation. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks in every age by his Spirit, and he does it through his people. When Noah spoke God's truth to highly resistant people in his generation, Jesus, by the Spirit, spoke through him. Now, I have found this principle to be a tremendous encouragement, because what it's saying is simply this. When you speak about Jesus, Jesus speaks through you. Now, you see, that is why, of course, we believe in preaching, but that is why we believe in witnessing. When you sit down and draw the bridge diagram in McDonald's with a friend, that is how God speaks into their life. You start thinking about that, it will almost blow your mind. How does Jesus speak in John Hersey High School? How will Jesus speak in Motorola or United Airlines? When you speak about Jesus, Jesus speaks through you. So how are highly resistant people in Rolling Meadows or Buffalo Grove or one of our high schools or one of our great businesses in this city, how are these highly resistant people going to come to glorify God? Answer, as we learn to act redemptively, to pray effectively, and to speak courageously in the places where God has put us.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Confidence. You know, each month we want to say thank you to those who support this ministry by sending you something that we think will help you grow in your walk with Christ. And this month is Pastor Colin's book called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. It's based on the sermon series that we're listening to on the radio this month. If you'd like to find out more or give a gift of support right now, you can do that by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
When you speak about Jesus, Jesus speaks through you. So how are highly resistant people in Rolling Meadows or Buffalo Grove or one of our high schools or one of our great businesses in this city, how are these highly resistant people going to come to glorify God? Answer, as we learn to act redemptively, to pray effectively, and to speak courageously in the places where God has put us. Now, I think it is a wonderful thing, having learned that principle, that Peter chooses Noah as his model for Christian witness and testimony. Let me just point out three very important facts about Noah's ministry in order to bring direct encouragement by way of application to us. You see, Noah is the model of ministry here, first, because Noah spoke to highly resistant people. And that's what Peter is on about in speaking to his first readers and what we need to hear in ministry today. If you think it's tough to witness to Jesus where God's placed you, remember that Noah had to share the gospel to the most resistant generation who have ever lived in human history. The people who were around him, God described as people whose thoughts were only evil all the time, only evil all the time. Corruption and violence were everywhere in the days of Noah. This was a highly resistant audience. And notice from verse 20 that Noah did not see massive numbers of conversions. In fact, at the end of his entire life of ministry, there were only 8 people who were saved. And so I want to draw this application. Don't get discouraged by small results. Ministry among highly resistant people isn't easy. What matters is not the number of people in your school or your office that you lead to Christ, but your faithfulness to Christ in the place he has put you. And if he put you in a tough place, take a lesson from Noah. And don't get discouraged by small results. Second, Noah knew that God's judgment was coming. Boy, if ever there was a preacher who knew the judgment was coming, it was Noah, right? There are, of course, only 2 occasions in world history when a judgment from God will fall on the whole world. The first was in the time of Noah through the flood. The second, of course, will be when Jesus Christ comes again in power and glory and winds up world history as we know it. Now, think about this. The task of declaring God's truth before the first judgment was given to Noah. The task of declaring God's truth before the final judgment is given to us. Us. You're Noah. We're Noah. That's the ministry that God has given to us. So don't underestimate, by way of application, the importance of the message. You see, there are some folks who'll be saying, well, does it really matter if I say something about Jesus at school or in the office? You bet it does. Of course it does. Your ministry in the light of the coming judgment of God is as critical as the ministry of Noah as he built the ark and people laughed at him, but he knew the judgment was coming. Don't underestimate the importance of the message. We're Noah. Thirdly, Noah believed that God would bring him safely to a new world. Verse 20, in the ark, a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. God waited patiently, you remember the story, while the ark was being built. But when the ark was ready, God told Noah to get inside. Of course, Noah must have felt very foolish indeed, loading the ark with all these animals, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. What are you doing, Noah? Oh, well, a great judgment from God is coming. God has told me to build the ark. I'm going to get in there with my family. Will you come too? I wish you would. It doesn't seem like it's going to rain today, Noah. So Noah got in the ark, and then God closed the door. It was an act of faith for him to get in there without a cloud in the sky, but then the rains came. And not just rain from the sky, but springs of water coming up from the earth, and the ship that was built in the desert rose. And Noah and his family were lifted in the ark. They were brought safely through the judgment and carried into a new world. Now, that ark, of course, is a wonderful picture of Jesus. The Bible describes Christians as people who are in Jesus Christ, just like Noah was in the ark. So a Christian is someone who is in Jesus. And just as by being in the ark, Noah was lifted through the judgment and safely brought into the new world, those who are in Jesus by faith will, when God's final judgment comes, be lifted safely through that and brought into the new heaven and the new earth, which is the home of righteousness. We are saved because we are in Christ. And that, by the way, is why Peter here speaks about baptism. Notice that, verse 21, because baptism is the sign of a person identifying fully with Jesus Christ. It is the mark of a person who is in Christ. But notice he does make very clear that it is not the act of being baptized that saves you. Baptism is a sign of being in Christ, and being in Christ saves you because, verse 22, he has risen and he has gone into heaven and he is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers in submission to him. So if you're in him, that is your safety. Now that is why, as we come to our final application, Peter says, therefore don't be afraid. Verse 14. Do not fear what they fear. What do they fear? Of course, for Peter's first audience, they were living in the Roman Empire, an increasingly totalitarian regime, and it wouldn't be too long before they would force everyone to worship the emperor. I mean, my goodness, living in a totalitarian regime like that is fearful for any people in any generation. And Christians were terribly persecuted in the later times in the Roman Empire, and Peter says, don't fear what they fear. Now, I don't think that there are too many people in the Woodfield shopping mall this week who are afraid of the growing power of a totalitarian regime. There's probably a few eccentrics who are afraid of that, but not many. God has given us the wonderful blessing of freedom, and we are deeply thankful for it. But let me ask you this question. What do people in the Woodfield shopping mall fear today? Well, what do you think? What do people in the Woodfield shopping mall fear today? Someone tell me. Terrorism. Number one fear. Terrorism. That's what our culture's afraid of. Cancer. Economy. And Peter says, do not fear what they fear. And he says that to people who are living under a totalitarian regime. Well, if that's true for them, think how powerfully it speaks to us. I am convinced that this is one of the most powerful statements in the whole of the Bible for Christian witness to Jesus Christ in America today. Do not fear what they fear. For the distinguishing mark of a Christian is that we know that we have everlasting life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has set us free to live. And when the unbelieving world sees a group of people living with confidence, they will want to ask a question. They will want to say, now, where do you get this confidence when you went to hospital for all those tests? How is it that you come through these difficulties that you've faced? What is it that gives you the peace that you have when everyone else is so worried? Peter says, do not fear what they fear. Then your life will raise questions. Highly resistant people will want to know why. And when that happens, be ready to give them an answer. Tell them about Jesus. And when you do, Jesus will speak through you.
What a powerful principle today. When you speak about Jesus, Jesus speaks through you. I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly encouraging. Maybe you want to go back and listen to this message again. You can always do that by coming to our website. It's openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, our website address is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and that is just what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Collins' teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Collins' book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, what can a person expect to get out of this book?
Well, very simply, it will take you right the way through the first letter to Peter, just 5 chapters in the New Testament. But this very important letter really lays out the basics that any Christian believer needs to grasp hold of. And so it's a marvelous letter for getting established in the faith. It's really helpful for anyone who is a new believer or anyone who feels like, you know, I just need to get the foundations set clear in my life. One of the things that I love about going through this letter, or indeed any book of the Bible, is that it allows God to set the agenda. See, it's very easy to think, well, we know what a new Christian needs to learn. And if I was coming up with a list, Steve, I'd say, well, there has to be something about prayer, there has to be something about witnessing, has to be something about reading the Bible and so forth. And all of these things, of course, are there in 1 Peter. But I probably wouldn't put on my list, you know, we need to retain our own freedom in Christ. We need to walk in humility, and we need to be ready for what it is to suffer. I'm not sure I'd put that in my list, but they're all there in 1 Peter. Why are they there? Because God knows that every new believer needs these things as well as the others that might come first to our minds. So it's a marvelous thing to get into one book of the Bible. And as you learn how to learn from one book of the Bible, well, then you'll be ready to go on to another book of the Bible, and you'll be on your way in terms of growing in the Christian life.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. It is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and it is our thank you for your financial support this month. You can call us and give a gift over the phone. Our number is 877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or our website is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Are you willing to do what is right? What if it costs you something? Discover what happens when you're ready to pay the price. Next time on Open the Bible.